I know, it's only Sunday. Just this past Thursday, we were here to celebrate Jesus' birth. And now here he is, out and about to be presented to the Lord at the temple. It seems that the Christmas story allows little time for lingering at the manger. We move, in fact, straight from the manger to the temple. According to the gospel, 8 days have gone by rather than three. And now it's time for circumcision, naming, the presentation of the baby, so on and so forth, whatever is required according to the rules of Jewish ritual. Mary herself had to undergo a purification ritual after childbirth, which required a sacrifice, and poor people were allowed to sacrifice either pigeons or turtle doves rather than larger animal sacrifices that cost more. Much of what transpires this particular day at the temple in Jerusalem is exactly what you would expect. Routine sorts of things, but in amongst the ordinary, two extraordinary encounters take place. At the center of each is a person who is well advanced in years. The first is a man named Simon, famous for his exemplary piety in Jerusalem, and he serves in the story as a representative of traditional Israel and Israel's hope for a Messiah. It had been revealed to Simeon that he was not going to die before he saw the Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he came to the temple the very day the baby Jesus was brought to the temple by his parents. Keep in mind now that the temple itself encompasses 35 acres. The chance of a chance encounter in such a large space is slim indeed, but the old man and the young couple converge. The man takes the little baby in his arms and recognizes immediately that the one for whom his people have waited for oh so long, that the Messiah has now come, and that he is holding the Messiah in his arms. "Now I can die in peace," he says, "for my eyes have seen salvation." He goes on to ground this event, this birth of Jesus, the presence of the Messiah, in the vision of the ancient prophet who anticipated brilliantly, as Bill Smith's passage revealed, that the Messiah for whom the Jews waited was not going to be the Messiah for the Jews only, but also for the Gentiles. Simeon rejoiced, and for good reason. But he was also a realist. He saw in the child's future great conflict, and he said to Mary to prepare her glad heart for sadness in the future. "A sword will pierce your heart before it is all done." Simeon, senior citizen, the indispensable bridge between his people's yesterday and the world's tomorrow. Simeon, an AARP Gold Card member, looking through his trifocals and discerning immediately the momentousness of the child's presence in the world, and then finding voice to proclaim that Mary's baby will be the agent of salvation. Think how many people must have been at the temple that day, and yet only Simeon and one other could see the unique holiness of the baby. He might have had cataracts on both eyes, but his spiritual vision was perfect. The other one who could see very well was a woman named Anna. We are told that she herself was of great age, and unlike Simeon, she never left the temple. Day and night, she stayed and she prayed at the temple. We are told whose daughter she is and what tribe she is from. Luke wanting us to know that though this is a woman whose ancestors were from the northern tribes of Israel, it doesn't matter whether you're from the north or the south or the east or the west, this baby is the redemption that all have been waiting for. And she immediately recognized Jesus as the Messiah and began to praise God and to speak about the child to others. So here we have them. Two people I bet you did not even expect would show up before the Christmas story was over. It seems to be, when we come to church during Advent and on Christmas Eve, all about young people having babies. I even think the shepherds were young. How could they run across all the fields and everything and get to where they needed to be in time? But here, this part of the Christmas story tells us that people who have a few years on them have indispensable roles to play in God's story of salvation, implying that there just might be something that only you or only I have been put on this earth to do, and that our job is to pay attention, to stay alert, to keep looking out for what that might be. I love the thought that with God's help, we can grow stronger in faith and wiser in perspective and more hopeful every day. Simeon and Anna have seen a lot that doesn't last, a lot that brings you down and makes you miserable. But they'd never let those sights rob them of their capacity to recognize the good stuff when it came their way. One of you sent me these words from Ulysses. Though much is taken, much abides. And although we are not now that strength which in old days moved heaven and earth, that which we are, one equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but still strong in will, strong to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Simeon and Anna, first class senior citizens, they encourage me to say a word today about this whole matter of getting a few years under our belts. Whether it's happened to you or not, if you are blessed by God, you will grow a little older and need to go to the ophthalmologist more frequently than now. The current data concerning increasing longevity in developed countries such as the United States is astonishing. In 1929, life expectancy in America was, guess, less than 50 years, 1929. I clearly remember, well, let me say something else before I say what I clearly remember. When Columbus discovered America, which I do not clearly remember, life expectancy was in Europe was only 33. I clearly remember. as a second grader, looking at my second grade teacher, Miss Collier, and thinking to myself, of course, I believe Miss Collier must be the oldest person I ever met. Miss Collier was likely not a day over 30. I'm not kidding. I love what George Burns once said. You can tell you're getting old if when you bend over to tie your shoes, you find yourself wondering what else you can do while you're down there. I really have been inspired by Anna and Simeon about these matters. Joseph Sittler, a wonderful Lutheran theologian, describes his experience of the passingness of things. There are times, the late Dr. Sittler wrote, when I'm aware that this place where I am is a place that I might not see again. This friend with whom I'm speaking is a friend I might not greet again. This small company of loved ones around the table, this particular group might not ever gather around the table again. The challenge of life is to come to terms with the way life actually is. Only the foolish would deny the loss and diminishment that comes with growing older, but only the unimaginative settle for what has to be with resignation. Something else is needed. Spunk, good humor, the grace to accept what is and to fight like you know what. For every good day, every great experience you can. I remember when Al and I went on a trip some years ago. I was doing some studying at Oxford in England, and there were a number of people a part of the college where we were enjoying our little sabbatical, one of whom was a very, very attractive and appealing woman in her mid-80s, and I really thought Al was going to leave me for her because she was delightful and interesting. And when we asked her what she was going to do after we were through with our studies at Oxford, she really had a plane ticket to fly to South Africa to fly again when she got there in a hot air balloon. I think Anna and Simeon might have had similar kinds of plans if they had been available in their day. The psalmist wrote, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Age brings the potential for perspective, for the kind of creativity that can come only with experience. Eric Erickson calls it the final integration of character. Psychologists refer to the mature stage of life as that place where the last and best peak of human existence can be scaled. They call it ego transcendence. The capacity to rejoice in something that does not necessarily affect you. To invest in tomorrow, leaving a legacy for the next generation. I think about time of promise and how deeply meaningful it has been to all of us. Not because, only because we're going to get to enjoy it, but because we know that 50 years from now, 100 years from now, there will be a strong morning side here. I think about those of you who give up coming to worship to teach the little kids in Sunday school. That's ego transcendence, isn't it? I think about how a number of you have gotten impassioned about the environment and our need to do something about it. I think we're going to have enough air as long as you and I breathe, but it's right to be worried about the environment for generations that are to come. Anna and Simeon, great role models for us. We have the power, as long as we have breath, to keep on growing in our understanding, in our capacity to love. Aging ought to open us up and ought never, never, never to close us down. Some of us have had the experience of, and are having the experience of, caring for aging parents. Many of us are planning for our own older age, our retirement, and perhaps now, more than in memory, worrying about our resources, worrying about what to do after breakfast if we don't have a job to go to. May I suggest that it's never too early to learn to see life as a whole, to make peace with what is, to always be hopeful, never be grim, never ever be grim. They died a few years ago, but I loved those Delaney sisters. Do you remember the Delaney sisters who, at the ages respectively 103 and 105, they published their first book, jointly written, entitled Having Our Way? They reported on their daily routine. They began, I said 103 and 105. I didn't want you to miss that. They began the day with yoga in front of the television. After yoga, each ate a clove of garlic, whole, not chewed, followed by a teaspoon of cod liver oil. Here's what Sadie Delaney had to say. The first thing I do when I open my eyes is smile, and then I say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And I go to Bessie's room, and I try to wake her up. Sometimes I have to knock on the headboard. Finally, she will open her eyes, and sometimes she'll say, oh, Lord, another day? An interviewer asked them if they ever think about death. Sadie answers, you don't know if you're going to wake up in the morning or not. But neither Sadie nor I worries about dying. We're at peace. You wonder when it's going to happen. And that's why we've learned to love each day, child. We've learned to love each day. There are ways to get it right, this business of living a human life fully and coming to its end in a state of grace. Simeon and Anna couldn't have said it better than Sadie and Bessie. You learn to live and love each day. You never know what might happen. I read recently of a daughter's memories of her parents. Her father was a physician. Her mother was a nurse. And they practiced medicine together, delivering babies and health care to rural Minnesotans during the Depression. On her father's deathbed, he turned to her mother, smiled, and said, oh, Mama, haven't we had fun? Clearly, they had had the time of their lives. They had had a job to do that only they could do, and they did it. And now they could die in peace, just as Simeon said. 3 points on which I will not elaborate. This is better than any medicine you could pick up at the CVS. If you want to grow old well, do not decamp from where the action is. Two, be a citizen of the future. I hope you will hold in your mind that picture of Nell Roberts cutting the ribbon last Sunday, 90 years old and still going strong. And three, please avoid in all conversations, Christmas letters, or any other means of human communication, please avoid giving an organ recital. Count your blessings, not your pains. I close with my favorite story about Winston Churchill. When he was 82, a professional photographer was hired to take a photograph of Winston Churchill. After the photo shoot was done, the photographer said, "Sir, I hope to return and do this again when you are 100. Churchill answered, "Young man, I see no reason why you shouldn't if you take care of your health." Though much is taken, much abides. Let's all get ready now to get another year under our belts. And let us give thanks to God for every single second that we live. It's a gift. It's all a gift. Thanks be to God.